This week, we're exploring the latest in clinical trials, holistic practices, and ancient wisdom, including testicular massage. How much of an impact can it really have on boosting your testosterone levels? Plus, I've got an amazing story of someone who conquered prostate cancer with a blend of conventional and alternative treatments. This is an incredible episode of Give Me an E, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Let's go. I'm Dr. Rachel, and this is Give Me an E, the show that helps you get hard so that you can breathe easy. Food, supplements, exercises, the latest and greatest technology. If it helps you get up, I'm going to talk about it. It's about elevating your manhood. It's about electrifying your sex life.
It's alive!
One letter, one voice, shout it out. Give me an E! Hello and welcome to Give Me an E! And this week I want to start with a very special question. It's our Ultimate Stiffness Question of the Week, brought to you by the Ultimate Stiffness Bundle. More information on how you can get access to that is actually in the show notes. Each week I'll select one of the best questions that you've submitted and I'm going to answer it right here. So today's question is,
I'd like to know, what can I do to reverse the effects of excessive porn and masturbation? So I'm 30 years old now, and I've been addicted to porn and masturbation since I was 13. And now I'm about to get married. I'm 30 years old now. I've tried to stop it. And so I'm trying to reverse the effects, both physically, that's on the D, that's maybe the erections, and then also psychologically too. I want to get your advice, what can be done. I heard you talking about in one of your videos how that there can be not just boosting nitric acid and blood flow, but maybe there can be nerve damage or tissue damage. So I want to know, my erections are not as strong as it used to be when I was a teenager, like 14, 15. And I also noticed while I was having sex with my partner, the erections in the middle of the sex got weak. So I had to use Viagra, but it's not as effective as it should be. So I want a natural and proper solution to the root cause. So what do you advise?
So I'm so glad that you asked this question. First of all, I just commend you for even reaching out. Being that you're 30 now and you've been excessively masturbating since you were a teenager, you have a lot to contend with. Now, the tips that I'm giving you here in this video, the tips that I'm giving you here in this podcast actually likely won't be enough. You'll actually need to get some help for this, because I want you to think of excessive porn consumption and masturbation as a form of an addiction. And there's a lot of debate as to whether or not this actually can be considered an addiction. But for you, you've been doing it for more than half of your life. So it's entangled in everything that you do, from going to bed at night, from getting up in the morning, those types of things. So it's going to be really hard for you to kick the habit all by yourself. What happens when you are excessively masturbating, or even to the point where it's become a little bit of an addiction, it's gotten you to the point where you would rather do that than anything else. You're not going out on dates, meeting new people, because you'd rather be at home with your hand, those types of things. What typically happens at the brain level is that the same thing is happening in your brain that happens when someone is addicted to drugs. And so what happens are the nerve terminals become depleted, the ends of the nerves become depleted or void of dopamine. And so your body is constantly trying to figure out where we're going to get this dopamine from. And so it keeps convincing you to masturbate, thinking maybe if we try it again, the dopamine is going to come. But what happens then is you become dopamine depleted, And as a result, it makes it very difficult to stop the habit and you stop finding pleasure in it. As a matter of fact, what you've likely noticed since you were contacting me here is that you actually really start to feel kind of bad after you do it. So in your instance, you shouldn't be as concerned about boosting nitric oxide as you are about boosting dopamine levels. And dopamine is an anticipation hormone. It's not really a reward hormone. It actually goes up when we're anticipating or looking forward to something. Since masturbation has kind of taken over your life, you're not looking forward to it as much. Your dopamine levels are depleted. And so it makes it really hard to get an erection that's as strong as it should be at the age of 30. This would particularly be the case when you introduce a partner into the mix. Because see, now your erection is designed to be stimulated by your hand. So now you've got a new person involved and he's looking at you like, who is this lady? Who is this guy? Like, get them out of here. It's supposed to be just you and me, buddy. So you've trained it to your hand so that when you're in the throes of passion with a person, it's not responding. But on top of that, you've actually lowered your dopamine level so much that it's not even getting as excited anymore. So if you are in the care of a professional or if you were my patient, one of the things that we would do is try to get you to go at least 30 days with either decreased activity, or if you could go cold turkey, you go cold turkey. And then what you're doing after the 30 days of fasting from masturbation and from porn, then you can start to put healthier forms of sex into your life. Now, the key though is that while you're cutting the porn and the masturbation out, you have to actually replace it with something. So what happens is you're so used to it, your body is so conditioned to masturbate and to watch porn that now you've got to fill the void with some other type of activity. So every time you think about masturbating, maybe it's you're going to get up and jump rope. Maybe every time you think about watching porn, instead you're going to work on this novel you've been working on. So you have to kind of set up the rules in advance as to what are you going to do to fill in the space of time that you would normally be masturbating with something else. And that helps you propel you into this space. Now, I've worked with plenty of 30-year-olds who have ED, and I will tell you it's one of the easiest things to fix that we as professionals have to deal with. And for you in particular, if we can get you off the porn and the masturbation because you're depleting everything every time that you are coming and ejaculating, if you can fix that, then you'll fix your erections. You won't need all that extra nitric oxide that the older gents need, okay? So I appreciate your question. Thank you for being brave enough to reach out, and I hope this helps. That is the ultimate stiffness question of the week. If you want to submit your question, you can call 219-200-3000. That number is in your show notes as well. So erectile function has been hiding in the dark. It's something nobody wants to talk about, but if you live long enough, you're going to have some level of difficulty. So why can't we just talk about it? And that's what this podcast is all about. It's taking an issue that has been in the dark and bringing it into the light because it's absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about. Listen, so if you're enjoying Give Me an E, if you've got something out of this podcast, I want you to share it with someone that you think might benefit from it as well. All right? Okay, let's get back to Give Me an E. So I always like to think of you as part of my family and community. And what do? In a community? We share. So let me share what one of you wrote in about this journey. This next testimonial comes from Sheikh Ibrahim. I have to be honest, Dr. Rachel Ross has to be arguably, if not the most down-to-earth MD America has produced thus far. And this ain't any cheap joke or flattery, I dare caution. I'm not an American, but I've based my claim from the plethora of other doctors' videos I've checked out on YouTube. I mean, viewers would all have to agree there are countless other doctors on the YouTube platform since the onset of the pandemic, but not like this doctor's style and in that medical specialty. She talks to her audience as if they are all in high school biology class. Hope that's a compliment. In other words, you have to understand her message unless you are having ADHD or some other difficulties. I personally, having never met Dr. Rachel, yet feel like I've known her since a lifetime before. She's brutally honest with whatever she believes in and shares her knowledge. Others would have kept stuff hidden and displays it with such great humility. I'd like to think her face-to-face sessions with patients might have actually initiated the beginning of the healing process, let alone her treatments. Unfortunately, not all doctors are endowed with the touch of classiness. Dr. Rachel, I hope God will continue to bless and guide you as you restore the brute confidence in men, and please do consider sometime soon traveling overseas. Thank you and cheers. Well, thank you, Sheikh Ibrahim. I appreciate that. Listen, we are all brothers and sisters in this. Thank you for sharing. I want you to share. I want to know your journey. So reach out. The details are in the show notes. I'm Dr. Rachel, and every week we do this where we are actually, you know, just talking about thriving and how we can optimize. I'm a men's health specialist, board certified family medicine physician, and a clinical sexologist. And today, you know, to me, I always think about this process of me being in men's health, and I think about all of the different things that I have believed in or given to patients or worked out and what didn't. And as you'll notice, as we go through this, I'm constantly evolving with you. As new data becomes available, as new products become available, as old products start to not be good anymore, you know, so what I want you to be is fluid in your thoughts as well about yourself, about your body, and not be super rigid in whatever you're doing. You got to switch it up. You can't just stay in your same old routine because one, it suppresses dopamine levels, right? So when dopamine levels are low, we're not excited. We're not excitable. We're not exciting to be around, right? So you've got to feel motivated, right? So change can even be as simple as changing what you're listening to. Instead of listening to talk radio all the time, turn on some music. Jam a little bit, like breathe energy and life into yourself so that you can breathe energy and life it everywhere else and into everyone else. So change, adapt, keep moving, keep growing, and keep shifting, and understand that nothing stays the same. Nothing. I feel like if our parents taught us that life was constantly changing and nothing stayed the same, we would all be healthier and happier. So what's going on? It's so good to see you guys, right? So I always like to start this off. Thank you, Think Tank. I always like to start this off with kind of like a testimonial, just to kind of show you some of the input and some of the things that are happening with our brethren, what types of results they're having when they're following this sometimes really simple advice. And I want to talk about it in the terms of it being simple, because actually, one of the questions today is about testicular massage. I got a gent doing testicular massage, and he's asking me, Dr. Rachel, is this mess even working? Like, is this doing anything? And so keep in mind that the information that we talk about here is a mix of clinical experience, you know, trial and error, me working with gentlemen through the years and what works and what doesn't. And also data. You know, I look at the data every day. I'm pouring through data, looking to see if there's any clinical trials or new evidence around things, but also good old fashioned historical perspectives on things, right? Like, this is one of my favorite books of all times, The Tao of Sexology and the Book of Infinite Wisdom. And when you look at some of the stuff that ancient societies were doing to stay sexually fit, to be in this anti-aging space, so many of the things that they were doing, now we have the science to back it up, and sometimes we don't have the science to back it up, but we've seen it work. So keep in mind that this is a blend of good old traditional medical stuff, along with holistic practices, stuff that's coming from the functional medicine space, the integrative medicine space, but also stuff that's coming from ancient wisdom and really being in that space of knowing, like, listen, ancient Egyptians were doing it. Ancient Chinese cultures were doing it. So it's kind of like what grandma and grandpa were talking about, right? Who knows why it was working? But for some reason, a lot of that stuff works. So keep in mind that this is a blend of things. So you can take what you can from it. But what I always like to share is that there are guys out here doing some of this basic stuff and having amazing results. So let me share this with you. Good afternoon. My name is Andre Walker, 67 years old. I remarried to a young woman, and now I have 3 children, age 7, 4, and 2. Yes, Andre, I love it. Wonderful children. I found you when doing YouTube, started watching you at first. I was skeptical, but the information you were providing was on the money. I love a skeptic, you know, that kind of changes their mind. I was diagnosed with prostate cancer over a year ago, had an MRI and then a biopsy, and the biopsy came back positive. The doctor told me to come back and see him in 6 months. I decided to get a second opinion. The doctor I found was an expert in all types of cancers, and he was a crazy doctor, but he knew his stuff. I went to Florida, but a new construction, while they were in the building, I came back and I started my treatment. Had radiation about 5 weeks, then I had the seeds implanted. I went into remission, but I found out that getting your prostate back is a marathon, not a sprint. So everything I heard from you, doctor, reaching in my faith in the grace of God has got me on that journey. I work out regularly. I change my diet. I wake up every morning with energy and I feel great. After my treatment, a little problem urinating stream that was weak, and the doctor prescribed terazosin. This is a prostate medicine. After my treatment, okay, it helped, but I found out it can also give you ED in the long run. So little by little, I stopped taking it. I started doing more of what you suggested, and in short period of time, then watching your videos, made the smoothies, taking the nitric oxide booster. Wow. Results have been amazing. I look at my wife and I'm ready to go. And she's young and beautiful, but having great results so far. And I bought the massager, but I haven't even had a chance to use it yet. But I'm working on that now, thanks to you and all your information given out. And I encourage any man going through this to remember it's a marathon. Just be consistent. Exercise, try to eat right, and take the right supplements and vitamins, and you'll be fine. I don't know if you can mention it, but I found some supplements from Ben's Natural Health products that are really good, especially the prostate. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and keep up the good work. I'll keep you in my prayers that you supply us with more wonderful knowledge to live a fun life. Bless you, Andre Walker. Listen, I live for testimonials like that. Thank you so much, Andre, for sharing that, because there's someone out here listening that's going through something very similar and is wondering if there's ever going to be light at the end of the tunnel. And when you share things like that, it reminds us that there's always going to be some light. It may be dim at certain points, but it's going to turn up the power. And that's what we want. So let me get into my first question here. So my first question is a great one. And it's great because if you follow me, if you're in our men's group, if you're in our stiffness training, you know I talk about testicular massage. So let's get into it.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rachel. Hope all is well. Is there any benefit to massaging the male testicles, at least very gently squeezing and massaging, at least, let's say, 2 to 3 times a week? Is there any benefit, or am I just wasting my time?
Good question. Now, most doctors that you go to, you tell your doctor, hey, I'm doing a testicular massage, and they might think that it's sexual harassment. They're like, what do you mean? Wait, what are you doing? From a natural health perspective, let's just think about this, right? So I wanted to share with you a study that really was done back in 1993 that really, you know, really kind of set the tone for what we're talking about here. Now, mind you, men have been doing testicular massages since the beginning of the time. You know, they don't call it the jewels for any willy-nilly reason, right? They recognized it's the jewels and they were taking care of them. They were massaging them. If they were wealthy, they had other people massaging them for them. Why not, right? So look at this study back from 1993. And basically it says testosterone concentration within the tunica vaginalis of boys and adult men. So really why I'm putting this study up here is because this study really was the first thing that kind of shows that Yes, testosterone goes through the bloodstream, but also what we're finding is that there's testosterone just leaking out of the testicles. That's a good word for it, right? Like leaking. We call it diffusion. So when you have your testicles sitting there, not only are we thinking about testosterone being made, going into the circulation, off into the bloodstream, but you also have to think about it like it's a lemon or a piece of fruit, right? You squeeze it. And in your head, you're thinking, well, if I'm squeezing it, is some juice coming out of this lemon? If I'm squeezing the plum, is it some juice coming out of this lemon? Well, think about the testicles. It's actually the tunica vaginalis is kind of the sac that it's sitting in. But what they find is that there's even more testosterone in that space than in the bloodstream. So when you think about it like that, now it starts to make sense how something like a testicular massage, where you're not just massaging the testicles themselves, you're actually massaging the spermatic cord. Because as your two balls are sitting there, you know, you can feel they're attached to a cord, right? That's called the spermatic cord. And in that cord system, you have veins and arteries running along there, right? So let's think about this another way. What do we do to increase circulation? Say your fingers are cold, right? You start rubbing them, you start massaging them, because what that's doing is it's helping venous return. It's helping move those fluids. When you're doing a testicular massage, what I want you to think about is you've got the veins, right? So veins, arteries travel away from the heart, right? And veins are designed to help carry blood back through the system, back up through the heart. So when we're thinking about how in the world could a testicular massage actually end up increasing testosterone, what I want you to think about is that now when you're massaging that spermatic cord, you're kind of tugging it, and doing a little bit of a massage, what are you doing? You're increasing circulation. You're increasing venous return because we're moving fluid, right? We're moving energy. You know, if we're talking about it in ancient Chinese terms, we're moving energy. When we're talking about it in modern science, we are actually moving blood flow. So think about it like this. Anytime, you know, your legs go dead, right? You're like, gosh, my butt is numb, right? You get up, you move around, you circulate, you start smacking on the area and it comes back to life. That is the layman's version of why a testicular massage could be helpful. Now, the reason practitioners like myself advocate for a testicular massage, advocate for you to, you know, squeeze and kind of tug on your testicles a little bit is because we feel as though it's going to increase testosterone. So what does science tell us? So when we look at what science is talking about when it comes to this process, this is the only study that really dives into this, right? So what they actually did, and you know, it does sound a little brutal, but they got us a little bit of the results that we want, is they actually took a compression. So it's almost like, you know, the blood pressure cuff that, you know, you pump up with air and it squeezes off the artery, you know, and you can take a blood pressure. So taking a cuff like that and inflating it and putting the testicles underneath a little bit of pressure. So they put them underneath pressure. And then after about a minute and a half, the compression was released. And what they did is they measured to see, after that squeezing happened on the testicles, did the testosterone actually go up? And this is the only study that I've really been able to find that actually can explain this phenomena in the scientific terms, right? So testicular compression during exercise and the serum testosterone levels. This was back in 1993, I believe. And if you look here, it says there was a rise in the mean serum testosterone levels of 16 to 18% with a maximal increase at 1.5 minutes after compression was released. So for those of you who are naysayers, who are just kind of like, how in the world is it, you know, I'm tugging on these testicles, is it making any difference? The answer to that is it probably is making some difference, because also keep in mind that over time, as your testicles just sit there, you know, you're driving around, you're sitting at your desk, they're just sitting there, almost collecting dust, sitting up against your body's hot, you know, and you're it's denaturing some of the proteins in there. If you think about it, when you're really thinking about what a testicular massage is really doing, it's moving blood flow. And when you increase blood flow to a certain area of your body, I want you to think of it like this. If someone has decreased blood flow to their hand will start to shrivel up, right? Someone has decreased blood flow to their heart will start to shrivel up. If you have decreased blood flow to your testicles will start to shrivel up and stop doing what they're supposed to do. So think of blood flow as nutrients to an area. Think of it like that potted plant in your house or someone you know's house that's just sitting there, it's withering, it's dying, and you're just like, look, man, just give it some water. You put a little bit of water in it over time, and it starts to perk back up, it starts to lose its brownness, and you can take a little, you know, a little almost dead plant, or even a dead plant, and before you know it, it's back. So it's the same thing when we're increasing blood flow to an area. When you, if someone's had a heart attack and they're going to cardiac rehab, what are we doing? We're increasing blood flow to the heart. So by increasing blood flow to the testicles, by massaging on the spermatic cord, by increasing pressure on it, as we're showing here with testicular compression, those are the two theories as to why a testicular massage might increase testosterone. Now, I'll be the first to tell you this, too. If you're a gentleman and your testosterone is rock bottom and you're considering getting on testosterone replacement, do I think that a testicular massage is going to do the same thing that getting some good old-fashioned testosterone injections or testosterone gel is going to do? No, it's not. But if you're somebody who just wants to boost testosterone, you've noticed that it hasn't been doing what you wanted it to, you've noticed you're having fertility issues, do I personally think that a testicular massage will make a difference? Absolutely. So I love this question. This was a great question. Thank you for that, because it gives me an opportunity to reinforce that the testicles have a purpose. They have a job. They are the main thing that's creating testosterone in your body. So when you think about it like that, why in the hell would you neglect it? Why wouldn't you talk to them at night and lift them up and squeeze them and tell them good job, you know, like take care of them. But for some reason, I think our culture teaches you to neglect them, and they shouldn't be neglected. They should be groomed. They should be oiled. They should be, you know, treated with respect and dignity. Those are the loins of life, you know? Let's do it. So I do another podcast where I have honest conversations about every topic in men's health. And I mean every topic. Nothing is off limits. And it's called Live Free, Go Hard. I want to share a clip from a recent episode I did with Master Lauren Johnson. So when someone comes to you, and that is their biggest piece, is that they're having trouble connecting with another person and having some erectile issues, so to speak, what's one of your first things that you try to open up for them in that space?
Thank you for such a well-put question. And I've got it right here. The tennis ball. The tennis ball. Especially for men, they like to go to something physical. And I'm going to say too, because we'll just cut right to some techniques. None of this is medical or psychological advice. This is just what I do on myself. This is my own practice. By watching and practicing, you agree to that. But the most vital acupoint on the body, in my opinion, as a licensed acupuncturist, certainly for men, is the perineum, okay? In traditional tantra, there's a famous saying, if goddess wanted to hide the point of master awakening, she would put it in a place you not only wouldn't think to look for it, it would be culturally taboo. And that's the perineum. And then they have it in traditional tantra and the Tao. And so you'll see tantrikas sitting on their heel and kind of grinding, which is great. But I like the tennis ball. You just put it right on there and just for a few minutes a day, just grinding. And the idea of a reflexology point where you press it and it reflexes to other parts of the body. The perineum connects to your whole pelvic floor. Your kidneys are right there, which governs sexual energy. It connects to the brain. I mean, it just profuses your whole energy system. And so, and then even just physically, the male G-spot is the prostate, you know, and men have prostate issues and on. So I always try to just give people, here's one thing, boom, sit on a tennis ball. And usually they'll feel a benefit enough that then they'll be open to more of the practices.
If you want to listen to the full episode of Live Free, Go Hard and take a deep dive into your stiffness success path, you can find out more and sign up at members.drrachel.com or head over to the App Store and download the Dr. Rachel app. Okay, Dr. Rachel, my sex drive plummeted from a 10 out of 10 to a 1 out of 10 in the past month or so. No major changes in lifestyles. Any thoughts on why this might be? Now, you know, this is a great question because what this question is going to allow me to illustrate is how important the backstory is to questions like this, right? So when someone tells me that their sex drive plummets, I got to know how old are they? I got to know, you know, when did they start having sexual activity? I got to know what was sex like in the past. I need to know, has this ever happened before? Do you have ebbs and flows? I need to know, did someone die recently? I need to know, you know, have you lost your job? Has there been anything traumatic happening? I need to know what your diet's like. I need to know if you're exercising. I need to know how your relationship is going. So like when someone, like when I'm doing an intake call with someone or an intake in person, you know, it can take anywhere from 60 minutes to 90 minutes because there's so much in the backstory that honestly, by the time I've finished with all of the questions in my head, I already think I know what's going on. And then I order labs and tests or look at labs and tests to reinforce that I know what's going on. Because once you've been doing this long enough, you can really kind of tell where all of that's coming from. Even it's really even important, like, where do you live? You know, is your water supply toxic? You know, is there something poisoning you at work? You know, all of that plays into sex drive. But also sex drive is driven by passion and dopamine. You know, if you're bored sitting at a desk all day, you know, trying to figure out what's next for you in life, sex drive will go. If you're sitting around masturbating all day, sex drive will go. If you are not getting along with the person that you normally have sex drive will go. So there's all these different things. You know, we teach everybody that women, you know, it's so many different things that go into their sex drive and this and this and that. Well, men are exactly the same. There's a lot that goes into your sex drive. And it's not just like push a button and go, particularly as life matures and things start to change. Is there any anxiety? Are you taking any over-the-counter medicine? Are you taking allergy medicine even? I have seen allergy medicine completely wipe out someone's sex drive. So it's really difficult to pinpoint what's happening with someone's sex drive without the whole kit and caboodle, without all the past history and everything else. So it's great. Okay, good information on the massaging. Makes common sense. George says it does help. See, there you go. There's so many thoughts around testicular massage. You know, like when you look at sexual kung fu, even, you know, a big part of sexual kung fu is tugging on the testicles, you know, and like, you know, depending on who you are, some people tug, some people yank, some people squeeze, just really kind of depends. But it's all around that same concept of, wake up, guys. Let's get some testosterone flowing there, right? So this was a great question, and I'm really grateful for it. For general health, which would you recommend most? Five 400 calorie meals a day, or a 12 hour fast per day, two larger 750 calories a day, and or 16 hour fast per day. This is a question by Derek. So you know what? When I'm helping someone figure out their best food regimen, and I like to call it a food regimen instead of a diet, because who the hell wants to be on a diet, right? I feel as though it is person specific. And from the majority of my patients through the years, there was a issue with delaying gratification, right? We can delay gratification up until a certain point, but then all of a sudden it's ravenous and binging. So for my patient population, I am a huge fan out of those choices of a 12-hour fast per day and trying to increase the number of hours that you're fasting each day. I'm also a huge fan, And I believe that this one works really well, particularly for women. Men, you guys lose weight so quickly. I mean, you just really just have to try. You know, once you try and get everything balanced, you start to see results much quicker than we do. I feel like something called the 5-2 diet is very powerful, where 5 days a week you eat, you know, pretty reasonable meals, but 2 days a week, you're basically fasting those days, but you're just trying to keep your caloric intake under 500 calories. So, you know, you could have a smoothie, or you could have, you know, different juices, or you could do everything that you possibly could, but try to keep those calories below 500. I feel like that's a very, very great program, because remember how I talk about the body loves, you know, novelty and excitement and change. You know, routine gets stagnant. You see those people on this treadmill, they're doing the same thing every time you see them. And they look the same every time you see them. Ain't lost no weight, no muscle, you know, like, so what's happening there is it's a plateau, it's stagnant. What I love about 5-2 is it allows you to vary it up a little bit. So your body is constantly like, hey, oh, that's new, that's new. And it's turning and it's burning and it's evolving and it's doing what we want it to do. Because when you're doing the 5-2, the 2 days that you're fasting each week don't necessarily have to be the same 2 days on the week one, week two, week three, week four. You can actually switch up those 2 days. And we prefer that those 2 days aren't back to back. So if you think about it like that, 3 days you're eating sensible. One day you're doing your little fast, then you're eating sensible again, then you might do the fast the next day. It kind of gives you a little bit of an ability to never really be missing anything, because we should all be able to delay gratification for at least, you know, 12, 24 hours, you know. And then what it really does, which I like, is it's easy to follow as a lifestyle for the rest of your life, but it's also, you can have a sweet tooth, you know, like you can have dessert on a couple days of those week, that week. And those days that you're not, you're just looking forward to what you're doing on those days where you're not fasting, and it works. So there's a whole book written called 5-2. It's actually, the 5-2 diet was really popular in European countries, but I use it a lot in my practice and with my friends and family. So 5-2. 5 days a week, reasonable. 2 days a week, calories below 500. That's my favorite. Geostar, hello, Dr. Rachel. I have BPH and they want to do surgery. I also have retrograde ejaculation. Will that correct that? If not, can it be corrected? All right. So whenever you have a benign prostatic hypertrophy and the doctor wants to operate, I want you to promise me that you get two opinions. And I want you to get two different doctors from two different clinics to see if that's your only option. And before you get your second opinion, I want you to ask around or do Google reviews and find out who takes more of a holistic approach to this. Because there are doctors that will take a more holistic approach to it and maybe not go straight to surgery. Because here's the thing about surgery, depending on what type of surgery they're doing, you got to know all of that. Are they actually, you know, what surgical procedure are they using? Are they using a laser? Are they using a scalpel? Are they using hot water to burn the area? Like, what type of surgery are they recommending that you do? So that's one thing. That's another reason you want to get another opinion, because everybody's surgical procedures and techniques are going to be a little different. You want to know their success rate, and you always want to ask them, doctor, what are the potential complications from this procedure? And so that way they will tell you the worst case scenario. Will you be able to ejaculate afterwards? Will you be able to get an erection afterwards? What strategies are in place to help ensure that maybe that's possible? They can't tell you, yeah, you're 100% you're going to be able to. But what they can tell you is maybe they have a special technique where they are not interfering with certain nerves. Maybe they're approaching it from a different way. Maybe they are going to give you a pump right after surgery because they want you to start pumping immediately, because they understand that the data shows that if you've had a prostate surgery and you get back to pumping within 2 to 3 weeks of the surgical procedure, the chances of shrinkage of your penile tissue decrease. the chances of you, you know, being able to maintain an erection later on, those chances increase as well. So at the end of the day, you want to have these honest conversations with your doctor. You want to know how many times have they been sued for this? You know, you want to really ask him questions. Like, you want to act like you are about to have this doctor's baby and you want to know everything about him to make sure that this is going to be a good parent. That's the same type of questioning you should have with your surgeon, because all surgeons are not created equally. You know how we used to say, do not buy a car that was built on a Friday, because we know on Friday, everybody's trying to rush and get home. Do not have a surgery on a Friday because doctors are trying to rush to the golf course. They're trying to rush home to their kids. Just don't do it. You cannot go into these situations just trusting and believing in the doctor. You have to trust and believe in your higher power, in your God, and trust and believe that you're making a good decision based off of education. You've done your research. You've talked to other people. You've read the reviews of these doctors. You're sure these reviews aren't fake. You know, you're doing your due diligence, because listen, one bad surgery, I don't care if it's on the prostate, on your brain, anywhere, can change your life forever. So you got to really approach it gingerly. And yes, with the retrograde ejaculation, if your doctor knows that going into it, he can, you know, the right surgical procedure can help with that. And actually, it's a difference. Sometimes it's retrograde ejaculation, meaning your ejaculate is shooting backwards. And sometimes it's an ejaculation, basically like you're trying to ejaculate and there's no fluid even shooting back in there. There's none producing. Or basically your prostate becomes so large that it can't contract enough to even get the ejaculate out of there. So the ejaculate is kind of stuck. It can't move through. So really kind of helping understand all of that is the best thing right out the gate. Thank you for listening to Give Me an E. Please subscribe so that you can get new episodes as soon as they're released. And take a moment to leave a 5-star review. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my email list so that you can get men's health-related topics delivered discreetly to your email, get discounts from the Dr. Rachel Institute, win prizes, and so much more. The details are in the show notes below. And if you want more from me, check me out on social media and subscribe to my YouTube channel. Until next week, live free and go hard.